Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hello, you're listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. What's going on? My name is Kevin Deers, and it's been a hell of a year. It has been a hell of a year and a couple months at this point. I appreciate you sticking by, even though Metal Shop is not currently doing live episodes on the air. We will be back. I've been doing this thing where I just interview a ton of artists, and I interview people behind the scenes. The last episode last week was with a couple people involved with Bandcamp, and that was really cool. And I've actually been able to interview artists I never thought I'd be able to chat with. Artists like Rob Halford from Judas Priest. I got to talk with guys from Hatebreed. I got to talk with Joe Duplantier from Gojira. I got to talk with a ton of awesome artists early on in the pandemic and then, you know, all the way up until now. I'm booking a bunch of episodes, so I'll be speaking with Animal School Bus, the two-person grindcore band that's a father-daughter grindcore band. I'm actually going to be conducting that interview on Sunday, which is Mother's Day. So that's kind of fun. And you know, it's not always the humongous bands that I nerd out about being able to interview. This past week, I got to chat with some of the guys from the band Zao. And I've been a big fan of the band Zao for a long time. And they're not like the biggest metal band in the world, but they are friggin' awesome. And I've been a fan, so when they started following me on Instagram, I had that kind of mark out moment where I nerded out and was like really stoked. So I'll be talking with Zao soon. I'll be talking with Colin Young from God's Hate and Twitching Tongues. Right now, I'm actually going to be jumping into an interview that I posted a few months back on my YouTube page. Realized that I never put the audio up in a podcast form, so I wanted to throw this on here. It's with Brandon Watkins, the guitarist for a kind of metalcore band, death metal influenced metalcore, called Year of the Knife. They're from Delaware. They're on Pure Noise Records, and I got to see them when they opened for Knock Loose, Terror, and Jesus Peace a few years ago, but just last year they put out a record called Internal Incarceration. It's super badass, and you know, when we first started the episode, you heard a little clip from it. We're going to jump into a little soundbite from the band, Year of the Knife, here, a few seconds of one of their songs, and then we're going to jump into the interview with Brandon Watkins from Year of the Knife. In the weeks to come, I have a lot of cool interviews set up, so I'm looking forward to those. Right now, here's Brandon Watkins from Year of the Knife on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop. I'm doing a quarantine video Zoom chat with Brandon Watkins from Year of the Knife. Their new record is called Internal Incarceration. Their debut LP is available now on Pure Noise Records. First off, welcome to the show and welcome to the Zoom chat and congratulations on the new record, man.
Yeah, man, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
So it seems you got some kaiju stuff back there, or do you have some manga?
Yeah, I got a bunch of manga and some Godzillas. This is my office.
So nice.
I do a lot of art. We're actually on my drawing table and I have it all turned around so it looks cooler.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're, is that your, career aside from the band? Are you an artist?
Yeah. I do a lot of illustration and graphic design stuff. I do, a lot of t-shirt designs and whatever for bands. And, my wife and I run like apparel and pins and whatever. It's called Candy Corpse. That's my main job. That's what I get paid
for. Oh, cool.
Kind of get paid for.
Yeah. And shout out to your wife who actually plays in the band with you.
Yeah, Maddie, she rules.
I guess before we go, why don't we shout out who else we're missing from the band, who we're not speaking with today?
Yeah, so we're missing Tyler, our singer. Shout out to Tyler. Shout out to Aaron and Andy Kishalewski, the twins. They play drums and guitar. And Maddie, my wife, she plays bass, and I play guitar.
So we have a married couple and twins together with the band. Yeah. That's awesome. How's your vocalist feel? Does he ever feel left out when you guys are like bro-ing down, or you and your wife are hanging out?
Sort of. I mean, I don't think he feels too left out because, like, my wife and I grew up with him. You know, we've been friends with him since we were 15, and we're 28 now. So, yeah. You know, we've known each other a long time. That dynamic isn't weird or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. I think maybe the twins feel left out from our our romance.
So you said that you've been friends with all these people for a while now. This is your first debut record. I got to see you guys with Terror and Knocked Loose a few years back. So you mostly just been doing EPs and 7-inches before this. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's honestly just been like demos. But
okay,
we put out a 12-inch like in 2016, I think. We had like a different singer and everything.
Oh, okay.
All that music isn't really on the internet anymore. But yeah, other than that, we've just been doing demos, and like we have some tape. We put out a tape for our debut demo with Tyler singing instead of playing drums. So yeah, and we, you know, whatever. We put out that collection or whatever, that's Ultimate Aggression, before this record.
So this is probably the first thing that really feels like the cohesive, like, vision of the band. Am I right with saying that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like Ultimate Aggression was definitely like, you know, basic starter ideas, mm-hmm. that turned into a whole thing. And this is, you know, Internal Incarceration is an entire idea, you know.
So the going into this album, I mean, you're on Pure Noise Records, which is awesome. They have, you know, bands like Knocked Loose. They have bands, The Warriors. There's a ton of killer bands on that label. And Take Offense, got to speak with Take Offense last year. What was that like? How did you guys go about, like, you know, being in contact with Pure Noise? And it must have been pretty cool to hear from them and that they had interest.
Yeah, absolutely. When we did that tour that you saw us on with Terror and Knocked Loose and Jesus Piece, we were going to put out First State Aggression, which is the second half of Ultimate Aggression, our previous release.
Yeah.
And Brian from Knocked Loose and Scott from Terror were, you know, we were talking to them about it, and we had sent them the recordings and everything, and they were like, we were originally going to put it out ourselves. And they were like, no fucking way, you can't put that out by yourselves. You need to, you know, you need to find somebody to put that out.
Yeah.
And we put it out ourselves anyway, because that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. But Brian and Scott really helped us get into the door with Pure Noise and got that conversation rolling. You know, Brian played a huge role in that.
That's dope.
So yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe it. You know, thinking back, like 15-year-old me would lose his mind to know that he's on the same label as Terry. You know, it's just crazy. And we've toured with them a million times. It's incredible.
And they have a diverse roster. Not only do they have, a lot of hardcore and metal bands, but they also have like pop punk and pop artists. And one of my favorite melodic hardcore bands, Strike Anywhere, is putting out a record on Pure Noise Records. So it's really cool to see. Of course, Rotting Out is on there. Just so many cool bands are on the roster. I feel like you guys could have a Pure Noise Fest, and it would be like cooler than Warped Tour.
Yeah, I think so. I think it could definitely compete with a Warped Tour lineup.
What was working with, legendary Kurt Ballou, God City, you guys, record the record there. What was that like, man? I imagine a bit of a step up.
Yeah. Absolutely the most serious recording I've ever done in any band.
Yeah.
And also the most dynamic sound quality wise. Like when we got the first mixes back from Kurt, we were all just like,
well, were that good?
Oh my god, like, you know, I've That's never us. Been in a band and had a recording that sounded that way, so it was just really incredible. And then, you know, speaking about 15 year old me before, like, getting to work with the guitarist of Converge, like, so insanely epic and such a dream for me and Maddie and Tyler. And you know, we've been going to Converge shows forever, and we've been worshiping their music forever, so it's just like totally a dream come true.
I mean, and you can hear it in the record too, just how much of a step up it sounds. Not saying your past output was bad sounding or anything, but this one is just such a step up, and it's really just a kick-ass record. That sounds cheesy to say, but it really is. It was like, it's I was listening to it last night going on a walk, and it made me want to run, man. It made me want to lift some weights, and man, just like punch something, dude. It's a hell of a good like hardcore but also very death metal influenced album, I would say. And you put together something, I follow you on Twitter, you put together something on your Twitter that was like a Spotify playlist of bands that you were listening to when kind of going in to write this stuff, and it was pretty cool. It wasn't the typical hardcore, it was like stuff for like what was on there? It was just like brutal death metal, right? It was like Devourment, yeah, and
Ancient, Devourment. There's all kind of crazy on there. Yeah, man. You know, I definitely take a lot of influence from like brutal early death metal. You know, that's my favorite thing. That and like 90s hip hop.
Cool.
But yeah.
So tell me a bit about like your kind of entrance into, because you guys, from what I see, I've never seen you guys outside of the tour, but it seems that you guys have a strong connection to the hardcore scene, but you being a huge fan of death metal, a bit of a crossover there. Did you grow up like being more into the hardcore scene, death metal scene, like did it all kind of just meld together for you?
So being from Delaware is really weird, because it's like, it's just a really, really small place, and
yeah,
bands come from, you know, Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Maryland, and they play in Delaware. And it's like, you know, being such a small place, there's not a lot of bands here.
Okay.
So there weren't a lot of lineups that were like strictly a hardcore lineup or strictly, it was always mixed bill shows. So,
okay.
You know, I would go to a show and see a pop punk band, a hardcore band, deathcore band, like it was always just something like really, really didn't make any sense. Somebody was playing acoustic guitar,
yeah,
like weird. Starting out, getting into extreme music, death metal, and you know, all the more dark is what really spoke to me. But going to shows and seeing, you know, when I was like 14 and 15, when I started going to shows, seeing kids dance like to hardcore bands, and you know, all the aggression there is what really spoke to me and really made me a fan of hardcore. But I think my introduction to extreme music was the Punisher movie soundtrack. That movie was terrible. But
don't know, Dolph Lundgren?
The hardest Hatebreed song is on that Bound of Violence. It's like a Rise of Brutality B-side or something. That it's just on that, but it's just like, it's one of the hardest songs I've ever heard, and I was like 11 listening to it, and I was like, dude, I have to hear more music like this. And then I started listening to like Pantera and
okay.
like that. And then I found friends that listened to like Pantera and they were like, yo, you should come to the show with us. You know, natural evolution.
The Punisher Warzone soundtrack actually has a pretty sick Ramallah song on it too.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I haven't listened to that, but that's crazy. There's got Ramallah on it.
Yeah, Days of Misery or Days of... I don't know. Anyways, it's a sick Ramallah song, and it actually plays in the movie, too, which is badass. Like you said, not great movies. That. Not great movies at all, but in rad soundtracks. That brings it back to, Dude, that's, like, so 90s and early 2000s is, like, movies with badass soundtracks, right?
No joke. Freddy vs. Jason has a crazy soundtrack, bro.
Oh, man. Right on, dude. Well, okay, so that was your first introduction into that, but what was your first introduction into like actual music? So it doesn't, you know, even if it's embarrassing, I want to know, like, what was the first actual CD that you bought on your own? Mine was No Doubt Tragic Kingdom, so no shame. What was the
that's such a great record.
It is a good record. What was your first CD or tape or whatever that you actually purchased with your own money?
So when I was like I don't remember, probably 9 or 10, mm-hmm. Linkin Park put out Hybrid Theory.
I was just listening to that the other day.
My cousin showed it to me, and it blew my mind, man. That's the first one I ever bought. And then after that, it was probably like System of a Down or mm-hmm. something like that. But that's what, like, I was like, wow, I love music. Like, but my parents were really big into pirating. So I had Napster
okay.
and Kazaa and LimeWire and all that stuff. And I was big into downloading. So anything I heard on the radio, Nirvana, anything.
So that's one thing about the new generation of bands and like new generation of metal hardcore bands is they don't find shame in nu metal. I feel like me and all my friends were like secretly listening to it and nobody like would actually admit it. But like newer yeah. bands, they'll be like, yo, I mean, System of a Down, Linkin Park, you know, like people will deny it, but, you know, it will. Who was buying those like millions of Limp Bizkit CDs? Someone was, so, you know.
Me, when I was like 12.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I got no shame in that, man. And like, I love Korn. There's, yeah. I mean, obviously a lot of nu metal sucks and you take it, you know, for what it is. But anytime I talk to any of my old heads or like I'm wearing like some nu metal gear, they're like, yo, what are you doing, bro? Come around here wearing that. But they also tell me that, like, they've seen like hardcore bands open for them or like the new metal bands open for hardcore bands back in the day, and them and all their boys thought it was cool, so whatever. Yeah.
There was some show, and I mean, this was before my time, but my friend John tells me about it, of seeing it was Korn on tour with Trial, Sick of It All, and Orange 9mm. And he said that people were kind of like laughing at Korn at the time, but it's like the next time they came through, like they were selling out arenas. So who's really laughing, you know?
Dude, yeah, exactly. I mean, not to say that that's not bad or whatever. It's just, it's funny, you know, it's a conversation for sure.
Totally. I do want to acknowledge that we're recording this on the 26th of August, and just yesterday in the news, it was unfortunately announced that Riley Gale from Power Trip has passed away. He was only 34 years old, kind of a living legend of the thrash and hardcore scene, as far as just like one of the voices of our generation. Really, Power Trip was on the ascendance to becoming like the next Slayer. They were like already touring with bands like Anthrax, Exodus. I saw him with Cannibal Corpse, saw him with High on Fire. Like, Power Trip was the shit. They were actually the 2017 Metal Shop Album of the Year. You know, not to go off on my thing too much since I'm talking with you, but I know they were another band that kind of came from hardcore and ascended to the more crossover with like metal, kind of parallel with you guys. Did you saw Power Trip throughout the years, right? And do you have any memories of seeing Power Trip and whatnot?
Yeah, man, for sure. Two instances really stick out to me. I saw them play with Ringworm and Municipal Waste, like in Baltimore. I can't remember what year it was. It had to have been 2012 or 2013. But I just remember, you know, I had downloaded like their demos or whatever they were called. Maybe it was EPs or whatever, but I had downloaded that stuff off of like Toxic Breed. He used to do that blog or whatever, but I got into them when they started, and then, you know, seeing them, I really flipped. Like, I really just really loved that band. And that Ringworm show was crazy and I went nuts. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And then, after that was like a 420 show,
mm-hmm.
and like,
it's fitting.
It was in Philly at Underground Arts, and all these like really incredible bands played. Twitching Tongues played, and it was the first time I had seen him play World War Five, and I was like, it was before And Love There Is No Law came out, so everybody was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, that crazy breakdown at the end. But Power Trip set was really sick, and I remember, you know, flipping out again, but. Yeah, man, that's a special band. That band, you know, really means a lot to me. So it's really, really sad reading that yesterday and today, seeing everybody talk about it.
That's one band that kind of unites, you know, and they were not, they came from the underground hardcore world, and then they got to, you know, fly the flag really for underground, while touring with, you know, huge bands, doing these huge rock festivals, and I don't know, pretty crazy, man, but R.I.P. Riley Gale. I just wanted to mention that and acknowledge that, because, you know, he was a big force in this thing we call, you know, hardcore and metal and just underground, crazy music to most people. Now, I'm curious about your guitar, you know, career, if you want to call it that. What made you pick up a guitar specifically? Like, what was it, a family member? Was it a friend? You know, and how old were you? And like, do you remember, you know, kind of writing your first riff or learning your first riffs?
Yeah, man, for sure. So when I was like 12 or 13, my cousin, he's like 3 years older than me. So he's 15 or 16, and he was really talking a lot to me and my grandparents about, buying a bass.
Oh,
he
cool.
like, for whatever reason, he found Primus, and it like really, really spoke to him.
Yeah.
And he started showing me Primus, and he's talking to me about how like he's going to start playing bass. And I idolized him growing up, man. It's just crazy. But mm-hmm. I was like, I want to play bass. That'd be so cool. And my mom had just started dating this dude that's like, he's my stepdad now, but she just started dating this dude that was like a career musician. Like he does like covers at bars and whatever. That's how he makes his living.
Yeah.
And he was like, Brandon, you're interested in playing guitar. I have this bass. You can have this bass. And I was like, okay, that's so cool. And I played bass in bands for forever. Honestly, until I started Year of the Knife, my wife got me my first electric guitar. And that's when the first song I ever learned was The Hammer, by Think I Care.
Cool.
It's crazy. But it's like dumb, easy music that was really heavy. Yeah. I thought it was so cool. And then I eventually started writing my first riffs. And funny enough, the first riff I really ever wrote was the riff for Ultimate Disease, the main riff, the fast riff. So yeah, that's my whole guitar thing. I've been playing electric guitar seriously for about 4 years.
So it's pretty recent, man. That's rad.
About 5 years. Yeah, I'm pretty new to it.
That's cool, man. What? So it sounds like you kind of like just took off. Like the band, you guys have been doing it for a few years now. So how long did you take to like just jump into a band from when you actually just started playing? It seems like it probably not too long.
Let's see. So I started playing when I was like 13 or so. And I immediately started playing with people, just playing stupid ass music when I was a little kid, but
nice.
As far as guitar goes, it's like I picked up a guitar cause I was tired of playing other people's shit.
Yeah.
I was tired of, you know, I wanted to write my own music. There was a certain style of band that I wanted to hear that I wasn't hearing.
Sure.
From my peers. So yeah, I was actually started Year of the Knife playing bass. okay. And writing music with a different group of people.
Yeah.
They're playing it now. And, you know, we didn't ever put any music out or anything like that. But, the first time I tried writing was for Year of the Knife. And eventually I was like, fuck this band, I'm writing the music, I'm playing guitar. Somebody else is playing bass. Somebody else is playing drums. You know what I mean? And, it went from there. So it didn't take very long.
Okay, right on, man. Well, I'm always curious about, you know, people's backgrounds and whatnot with that. I did want to mention, so some people, we're living in a pretty fucking crazy time, not only through the pandemic, but also like so much unrest and so many protests and everything. And I'm curious about some people, some musicians feel maybe uncomfortable using their platform to make any kind of statements politically or any kind of, you know, social justice statements, and then there are others who don't and they feel like kind of compelled to do so. Where do you stand on that? And you know, yeah, where do you stand on like using your personal platform or the band's platform to make statements?
Well, we have arguably our most popular song is a song we wrote called Blue Lies, and that's about police brutality and the injustices, you know, enforced on us by the police system. I'm a mixed race person, so I don't feel uncomfortable telling people how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, on any of these kinds of subjects, we're all very, very vocal about, you know, racial injustice and all the things that take place in our community and the things that we see. So yeah, pretty quick to tell somebody they're fucking stupid.
Fair enough. All right, man. I kind of had a feeling seeing some of the t-shirt designs you guys have with the police officer and whatnot. I just would like to hear it from your voice instead of putting words into your mouth. So,
yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that.
Yeah. What has quarantine life been like for you, man? The pandemic life. What have the last few months been like for you? I mean, obviously, things ramped up probably as far as, you know, promotion for the record and whatnot. But aside from that, how have your last few months been? It's kind of weird for all of us, but what have you been, how you been doing? How you been staying safe and sane? And yeah, how's the last few months been?
Pretty fucking weird. but, you know, everybody's in the same boat as far as music goes right now. There's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
But life's still pretty good. Life goes on, and I mean, all this is going to come back. So why burn myself out, you know, sweating it? But it's been cool. Just been trying to keep busy. I mean, Candy Corpse has been super, super active, and we've been putting out a lot. We've been pushing a lot of new products and stuff. You know, obviously promoting the album takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I play tons of video games. I read comic books. I read books.
Do you have a Twitch?
I don't have a Twitch, man.
Okay.
No, but I should. I think Maddie's making one.
Nice.
I don't know much about it.
Right on, man. Well, I can tell that obviously you like comics and you like books from the amount of cool stuff behind you. Could you shout out your artist? Do you have an art page for your design and art?
Oh, it's just my personal page. It's at Condemned to Suffer. I don't know. It's different on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
But if you look up me, you know, you'll find it. All my shit is just, it's in with my regular because I didn't make an art page.
Okay. Right on, man. And are you available for commissions if people are interested in your artwork?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's where our side money, I need it.
There you go. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, man, and feel free to take a minute. But I'm curious if you could pick four albums that have made a distinct, like, personal, like, positive impact on you throughout your life.
Okay, well, Hybrid Theory for sure, because it's the first thing I bought when I was a kid.
Okay.
That album really gave me a bigger appreciation for music. Ride the Lightning is a huge game changer for me. That was another step further into extreme music.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I still listen to that. I listen, Metallica is probably my favorite metal band ever. Let's see. Ready to Die is the first hip hop album I really got into.
Cool.
So that really blew my mind. And fourth, it's gotta be Rain and Blood, man. Slayer.
Classic.
Slayer is, you know, anytime I'm writing some Year of the Knife shit and I get stuck, I'm like, what would Slayer do?
WWSD.
So, yeah, that wasn't too hard.
Nice, dude. Okay, well then let's step it up a little bit. Here's one that might be a little bit harder. So we all know the big four. You actually mentioned two of them in your four albums. The big four of American thrash is what they say: Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Slayer. Now, you're a huge fan of death metal. In your opinion, what is the big four of death metal? In your opinion, your personal big four of death metal.
Death, Obituary, Cannibal Corpse, Suffocation.
There you go. You just, right off the top of your head, man, I could tell that you're kind of always thinking about death metal, probably so.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Right on, man. Well, just one more question for you, man, and if you can, show us, but definitely tell us, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
I have one scar on my hand. I don't know if you can really see it too good. It's kind of little. It's like right in this area.
Okay. Yeah.
I got it when I was in second or third grade. There was a dog kennel outside of my house, and it was like really, really tall, a really tall fence. And the top was like, you know, it's like a typical iron fence, I guess. Iron,
sure.
Sounds right. And the top was like kind of rusty. It was just like cut. Like, I don't really know how to describe it. But for whatever reason that day, I decided to climb the fence, which was way taller than I was.
Yeah.
And I think I was a real anxious kid. I was always worried my dad or my mom was going to yell at me. So I think what happened, I don't quite remember, but I got scared that they were coming out the front door, and I slipped, and a piece of the top of the fence broke off into my hand. It went up into my middle finger. Which is pretty funny, but I was so worried that, you know, they'd be mad at me for climbing the fence that I told them that I had tripped. I had tripped onto a stick in the yard, and the stick cut my hand, which was pretty fucking unbelievable because there was so much blood.
Yeah,
I don't know how that much blood came out of me, but so much blood out of my hand. Yeah, it took like 2 weeks, and then they took me to the doctor. And the doctor did an X-ray on my hand and was like, "There's metal in his hand. What happened?"
Right. And then you had to fess up.
Yeah, and they weren't really mad at me. They were just like, "Why the f*** didn't you just tell me?" I was like, "I don't know.
No." That's crazy, man. It's actually a wonder that you didn't have like crazy nerve damage and that you can play guitar still.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that much since it happened, but it is pretty. I'm pretty lucky.
Totally. Right on, man. Well, again, I wanted to definitely mention Year of the Knife's new album. It's called Internal Incarceration, and Brandon Watkins from Year of the Knife. Where can people follow you, and how can people support the band? Best way to support the band, best way to put money in the actual pockets of the band when you know, obviously you can't play shows, you can't tour.
So our Instagram and Twitter are Year of the Knife, and I think our Instagram is YOTK or XYOTKX, but you can find us on Year of the Knife. The best way to support us is to buy merch.
Cool.
Buy records, buy merch, whatever. We have a big cartel, and it's got band exclusive vinyl right now, and Sick. It's got CDs, and we've done a bunch of masks in it that okay. are really, really nice quality.
Hell yeah.
But even that the label does, you know, mm-hmm. that buying records, that's, you know, buying from us is the best way to support us right now.
There you go. Right on, man. Well, I appreciate it. And hopefully on the other side of this, we'll get to see you in Seattle. I'm sure, you know, you're kind of aching to get out there on tour and support the record. And
absolutely.
But we have some time to learn the lyrics to it, and then we'll be all ready to go.
Sounds good.
Right on, dude. Thanks again for the interview, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Have a good night, bro.
You too. This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.